SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a start for the season it was for the Buffalo Bills last night in Los Angeles. We recap it now here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. And we set the stage for the rest of your Sunday slate. The first week of the NFL season. Football is here, Joe. And we'll sprinkle in a little college football handicapping up next as well. But, Lisi, as you watched last night's opener in Los Angeles, what was the main takeaway that you had?
That Buffalo's for real. We talked about it all offseason, the most complete offense and defensive lines, in my opinion, in terms of the AFC, and they came to play last night. They hit the LA Rams in the mouth. They wanted to showcase that they are the best potential team in terms of the NFL, not just the AFC. Josh Allen, what a huge performance. Untouched, really, in terms of the pocket. I never saw LA generate a pass rush or put Josh Allen into long third down situations. They were always ahead of the chains. And that's why they dominated by 21 last night.
Yeah, and they dominated. 21 points was that margin of victory. 31-10, the final score. Buffalo easily covering as a 2.5-point road favorite. That line worked in their favor all summer long. A total of 51.5 stays under as well. But, Joe, that 21-point victory, that margin of victory, the second highest in NFL history for a team in its win in a season-opening game over the defending Super Bowl champs. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from last night for me, was all of this offseason. We discussed how the market loved Buffalo. The optimism in the odds for the Bills this year. The favorites to win the AFC East at a minus 230 price. Substantially favored to run through their division in a way to the AFC Championship game. The favorites in the AFC at plus 350. The favorites entering last night to win the Super Bowl at plus 600. Josh Allen, the preseason NFL MVP favorite as well. Every market loved the Buffalo Bill. Would they meet up that hype, Joe? Would the Bills match up that optimism in the offseason with what we actually saw on the gridiron? And sure enough, they certainly lived up to that, pun very much intended, billing last night against Los Angeles.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the biggest thing, too, on the flip side of Los Angeles was that Matt Stafford injury. I'm not a buyer in thinking that he's 100%. Those short to intermediate throws, that was a majority of their offense. And how about the Buffalo Bills' ability to be opportunistic, to force turnovers, to force overthrows, and force Matt Stafford to look distressed? That was the biggest thing as well. We talk about the offensive line for Buffalo. It is that front seven and Von Miller. That addition, that's going to be a huge addition as they go through the AFC East. They are the team to beat right now. They show no real weaknesses after week number one.
And Josh Allen, Joe, frankly looking like that preseason NFL MVP front runner as well. So efficient last night through the air. 26 of 31, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 wonky interceptions, but still a very complete game from Josh Allen, who also added 56 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown to boot. Stephon Diggs, a huge game. 8 grabs, 122 and a touchdown. Gabe Davis backs up the performance from that AFC division round game against the Chiefs, where he had a record-setting 4 touchdowns. He had 4 grabs for 88 yards in the first touchdown of the season for the Buffalo Bills. But on the other side, Joe, for LA, questions about Matthew Stafford. 29 of 41, 240 yards, under his passing yards prop of 265 in a hook, 1 touchdown only. We see it was only in 4 games last regular season where Matthew Stafford didn't at least throw for multiple touchdowns, just a single score last night in 3 interceptions. He was tied for the league lead last year in 2021 for most picks throughout the regular season with 17, a very shaky start for Stafford and the Rams.
It was, and he didn't even attempt to look downfield. He immediately checked down to his second and third routes, which leads me to believe that there's an issue with the elbow long term. And maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but we have to in this business to really get a gauge of what you get from the LA Rams. If they have to methodically work down the field and they're not an explosive offense with Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson, they're just pedestrian. They're as pedestrian as you San Francisco. You want to throw another team in there in Minnesota? I mean, you can name it. Without Matthew Stafford at 100%, this offense has changed completely. And where was Cam Akers last night? Everybody pumping up Cam Akers. It was Darrell Henderson that carried the load.
Yeah, it was. And I think there was a part of the conversation for the Rams as well, Joe. Maybe the no-shows. Cam Akers, 3 carries only for 0 yards. And then that newly acquired wide receiver we thought would be a great complement to Cooper Kupp. And listen, Cooper last night, 13 grabs on 15 targets, 128 yards, and a touchdown, well over his receiving yards prop of 94 and a hook. But, Joe, it was Allen Robinson the second who was acquired this offseason that people thought would be a great additional weapon for this Rams offense. 1 grab on only 2 targets for only 12 yards. It was a very interesting Rams offense last night that only scored 10 points in Buffalo's defense, proving why it was the top scoring unit in that defensive category from last season. We'll hit on college football up next. Some of the marquee matchups that you will see back here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 1 of the National Football League season, but week 2 of the college football campaign here in 2022. And what a week 2 slate it is, Joe. Some really good games up and down the docket for tomorrow on your full Saturday menu. Let's start with the biggest game of them all, Joe, at least the one that has the biggest brand names involved. Number one Alabama on the road in Austin against Texas. Two of the biggest brand names in the entire history of the sport of CFB, Joe. And we have detailed this line since it opened up early this summer. 15.5 at the time in favor of Alabama. It was a big number then. It's even bigger now. 20.5 in favor of the Tide, Joe. Entering week number one just last week, less than 7 days ago, the line was at 17.5 in favor of Bama. It's already up, Joe, to nearly 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and if Texas does knock off Alabama, they will be number one. So you were dead on in terms of that, Ben. Right,
that one coach, Joe.
Exactly.
The coaches pulled it over.
Exactly. But we talked about it on TMA earlier today in terms of the dominance of Alabama on the road. They're 32-5 straight up, .864 winning percentage since 2017 against obviously FBS and FCS opponents. It just complete domination. They've won those games by 24 points per game. And on the flip side, Texas, for the most part, under Herman and obviously Sark, have played better at home than they have at the road. 17-6 straight up since 2018. So there is the possibility. But when you break this game down for Texas, I talked about they need explosive chunk plays to loosen up that front seven of Alabama. They cannot go sideline to sideline, slant patterns, hitch patterns to get the football out quickly because Quinn Ewers is inexperienced. That's not the recipe to beat Alabama. They need to start with tempo, challenge them over the top, and maybe they can loosen it up for Bijan Robinson. I think it's an uphill battle. I think the front seven of Alabama shines, and we talked about the front seven of Texas. You want to play big boy football, you're going to get your opportunity against Jahmyr Gibbs and the running game of the Crimson Tide.
I think Jahmyr Gibbs, Joe, has an absolutely astronomical day. His rushing yards prop is only 83.5. He had 93 in the Tide season opener last week against Utah State. Not a great rushing defense in its first game against UConn or even last year by any means. And it should be a step up in competition level against the Longhorns, right? Well, except Texas had a bottom 20 rushing defense last year in college football, Joe, nearly giving up 203 yards per game on the ground. I think that is the angle of attack early and often for Alabama tomorrow. Jahmyr Gibbs over 83.5 rushing yards will certainly be a way I approach Bama and UT. But a lot of focus, Joe, of course, will be on those quarterbacks. Bryce Young, 318 in the hook for his passing yards prop. Quinn Ewers, Joe, only 220 and a half. How important is that number for Quinn Ewers in Texas if the Longhorns can even keep this game within margin?
Oh, it's very. He has to get over that number. If he doesn't get over that number, that means they're in long third down situations. They can't move the football effectively, and Texas might have 10 points on the board, if that, by the fourth quarter. He needs to get into the area. You want to be honest? I think 280, 290 at least in this ballgame, because then that means the vertical passing attack of the Longhorns are stretching Alabama over the top. And we talk about teams challenging Alabama last year. Yes, Florida was able at home to rush for over 200 on that front seven, but yeah, it's a different type of offense. It was a different type of offense in terms of Gainesville. They have athletic quarterbacks last year with Richardson and Jones. They do not have an athletic quarterback in Quinn Ewers, so he has to challenge them vertically. That can open up, obviously, Bijan, but Bijan is a main component of this passing game as well. Empty sets, right? Almost like an Alvin Kamara. You put Bijan Robinson on the flank and mismatch him on a nickelback or linebacker. That'll loosen up Alabama, and maybe you could get some big runs later in this ballgame.
Yeah, and that is the versatility of Bijan Robinson. That's why his odds to win the Heisman Trophy were in the preseason, Joe, the best of any running back because of what he can do in the passing game as well. We saw that on display in Texas's season opener against Louisiana Monroe. 71 yards on the ground and a touchdown there, but also 40 yards receiving and a receiving touchdown as well. All right, Joe, let's keep going around the slate here for college football. If Alabama and Texas is the most notable game of the day, you could say. I think the second best one, Joe, late night in Provo, in primetime, BYU hosting Baylor, and the Cougs are a 3.5-point favorite against the 9th-ranked team in the Baylor Bears, Joe. That will be a great matchup tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the most intriguing matchups in terms of late night action. You're absolutely right. BYU got abused last year as a 6.5-point dog, 38-20. They were rushed on in terms of Baylor's offense with Treston Ebner, Abram Strith, over 300 yards last year. They completely wore them down in the second half of that ballgame. Now Jaren Hall gets his revenge, hopefully, in this ballgame. They're a 3.5-point favorite. I think it's critical for Blake Shapen to start fast in this matchup. The one thing I don't like about Baylor, inexperience at the wide receiver position, and I think this is a completely different offense with Shapen at the helm as opposed to Bohannon. At least Bohannon can run the football. The RPO game was effective for Dave Aranda. You take that out of the offense, now you really need the offensive line to hold up, and you need to protect Shapen. That's where I favor BYU, playing in the altitude. I'm taking BYU in on paper it's the upset, but they are the favorite, -3.5. I think they win anywhere from 10 to 13 points Saturday night.
Absolutely so, Joe. And that's the biggest question, right? It would be an upset based on ranking, but not in what the odds are expecting. BYU laying more than a field goal at home in a top 25 tilt. I think you bring up a great point about what Baylor does not have back in that backfield versus what BYU brings back. A top 10, Joe, in terms of returning production this year for the Cougars. A lot of that team is back last year, and you hope the improvement is from that 75th ranked rushing defense last year that gave up 163.5 yards per game on the ground. Two big ones, Joe, in the SEC. A top 20 matchup between Florida and Kentucky in the swap, the 12th ranked Gators, the 20th ranked Cats, and then also another top 25 matchup with Tennessee, number 24 now in the country, on the road taking on number 17 Pittsburgh. Which game are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Kentucky matchup. I want to see if Billy Napier can maintain that momentum from last week. Can Florida shut down the run? They couldn't do it against Utah. They're going to be hit in the mouth against Kentucky and Will Levis. They've covered five straight, Kentucky has, and one of two of the last four against the Gators. I like Kentucky on the road in the swamp. I think they're a live dog Saturday night.
Live dog as in take the 5.5. Lisa, you're a live dog, and let's sprinkle on that +184 on the money line.
Yeah, I like +184 on the money line. I like them +5.5. I just think they're going to force Anthony Richardson in the pocket, meaning they're not going to allow him to break contain. force him to go through his reads and progressions, and that's where the defense for Kentucky's been very opportunistic in the secondary. They force a lot of interceptions. I like that matchup heading into Saturday night in Gainesville.
A top 20 total defense last year under Mark Stoops, a top 20 rushing defense last year as well for Kentucky. We will see how that is put up against AR. Anthony Richardson, of course, one of the most dynamic players in all of college football. What's so intriguing, Joe, is they moved up his passing yards prop from where it was just yesterday afternoon. 193 and a hook is all the way up to 207 and a half. He was under both of those numbers in week number one. Speaking of offense, Tennessee and Pittsburgh on Saturday, a total now at 64 and a half. I would look at the Vols adding up that scoring. Tennessee's favorite on the road, laying 6.5. I think the Volunteers will score a ton against Pitt. Much more to come on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Football Full Circle, a full-blown preview of the Week 1 slate for the National Football League regular season. Football is here, Joe Lisi. It is a wonderful time to be breaking down actual NFL games together. 14 games, Joe. 14 on Sunday. I am not going to leave my couch from the hours of 1 p.m. Eastern time all the way through 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. Over 12 hours, Joe Lisi, in the same spot on my couch watching football. In my mind, there's nothing better in this world.
No, I mean, football. Are you kidding me? I watch football till 4 o'clock in the morning, both Saturday and Sunday, Ben. This is what it's all about. Great matchups, the contrast in styles. That's what separates these battles this coming weekend. And I have to be honest with you, I can't wait to see how these games play out over the next 2 days.
Joe, there's a lot of short spreads this week in games that, at least based on the odds, we would expect them to be competitive. One that we have seen a ton of movement on, Joe Lisi, the Cleveland Browns and the Carolina Panthers. A game that has some of the biggest storylines entering from the narrative perspective of Baker Mayfield's revenge game against his former team, the Browns drafting Mayfield number one overall in 2018, spurning him this offseason for Deshaun Watson, who of course is suspended 11 games for 2022. But we have seen so much movement, Joe, in this number. After the suspension was determined in finality, Deshaun Watson out for 11 games, and Baker Mayfield was acquired by Carolina earlier this summer, the line worked in favor of the Panthers. Even earlier this week, Joe, it got up to 2.5 points in favor of Carolina. Then trickled down yesterday to only 1.5 in favor of the Panthers. Joe, now we've seen it go flippity-flip, past zero, all the way now in favor of Cleveland. It's the Browns as a 1.5 point road favorite. Joe, what do you make of that line movement?
Yeah, I call it a divergence, right? I mean, if you just look at the public perception and public money, where the tickets are, 70%+ are on Carolina, yet the line is moving in favor of the Cleveland Browns. So it's a divergence from what we're actually seeing in terms of market movement. It's an actual trading term that we're going in opposite directions. So I would, from a trading aspect, favor the Cleveland Browns now in this type of movement because something doesn't seem right. How could 70-80% of the money and tickets be on Carolina, and now all of a sudden the market's factored into Cleveland's way where they were 1.5, 2-point dog to now a 1.5-point favorite now? That's a 4-point move. That just doesn't happen, you know, systematically. So it's an intriguing matchup. The one thing I will say that is a concern, if we're looking about the football aspect, Ben, the fact that Christian McCaffrey's on the injury report, again, I don't care if he's healthy, 90%. He's on there again. Are we kidding ourselves? Carolina can't win this game, and they certainly can't get over 5.5 wins without Christian McCaffrey in that lineup. So we have to see how it plays out. But I expect Cleveland's defense to challenge the running game tomorrow afternoon.
Listen, Jacoby Brissett, you might have your questions about him at the quarterback spot, but up and down the roster and every other spot, the Cleveland Browns are a much more talented team. And that's just the facts of the situation that we're dealing with here, Joe. When you look at the talent and what is expected expected of Cleveland outside of the quarterback position, which has been a huge question mark, of course, for the Browns all offseason. So it was interesting then to see the line work in favor of the Panthers. They seem like the surefire side, Lisi, just last week, but this is a team that has a win total around 6, 6.5, and the under is incredibly juiced right now for the Carolina Panthers. It's even money now, but it was earlier, Joe, at minus 125 this offseason. Carolina's not going to be that great of a football team this year, even with Baker Mayfield. It's a fascinating game, one that I will stay away from, but enjoy the narratives and the storylines that truly go into it. And one also, Joe, with a low total, the second lowest of the weekend at 41 in a hook. Another 1.5-point spread, Lisi, in a divisional duel Sunday afternoon. I think it might be one of my favorite games on the slate. The Packers, a 1.5-point road favorite on the road in Minneapolis against an NFC North opponent in the Minnesota Vikings. A 1.5-point favorite, Joe. That's all that Green Bay is laying on the road. But this game is important because you on the Vikings this year to win the NFC North. You think the Vikings have a true chance of challenging the Packers for that divisional crown. What does Sunday, Joe, do for Minnesota if they can knock off Green Bay in their hopes of winning the division?
The same thing that the win by Buffalo the other night over LA did for that confidence. It proves that you have the opportunity to go toe-to-toe with potentially one of the best teams in the NFC and the best team on paper in your conference. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks. If you could beat them, now you have momentum heading into week 2 and 3, and you say, you know what? We can win it all. And that's the biggest thing for Minnesota. They have the talent. They just haven't done it consistently week to week. And that's the reason why Mike Zimmer's no longer the head coach, because they played down to the level of competition. They played down to Cooper Rush in Dallas when they were 6.5-point favorites. Yeah. They played down to Dan Campbell as a 7-point favorite on the road and get abused 29-27. So now you have an opportunity. There's no excuse, right? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have his biggest weapon in terms of Devontae Adams. He's playing with Las Vegas. You have to find a way to knock off the Green Bay Packers as a home dog. And I think they do it in this matchup.
And that will be a huge opportunity for them, for the Minnesota Vikings. If they are going to challenge the Green Bay Packers in this division, if they are going to knock Green Bay off their perch, because the Packers have won the NFC North 3 consecutive years. They have won the NFC North 8 of the last 11 seasons. This goes a long way. This game is at home in Minnesota. The Vikings are already booked as a slight 1.5-point underdog. If they lose this game, Joe, that means the second time they play the Packers this year is going to be in Lambeau, and they are probably going to be a road underdog, not favored to win that game. And if you're already two games behind the Packers from that divisional standpoint in terms of tiebreakers, it makes the ground that you have to make up the rest of the way across the rest of your schedule that much more difficult. 47.5 is the total, by the way. The Vikings, the highest over percentage in the National Football League last year. 11 of 17 games for the Vikings hitting the over 64.7% of the time. That's a 1.5-point spread, Joe, on Sunday afternoon. On Sunday evening, the first Sunday night football game of this season, the Bucs, a 2.5-point road favorite against the Cowboys. Joe, across the entire week one slate, all 16 games in the NFL, 11 home underdogs. That is a large amount of home underdogs. The Cowboys are one of them, getting 2.5 at home against the Bucs.
Yeah, and think about the line last year. They were 8.5-point road dogs against Tampa Bay and lost by 2. They missed a field goal at the end, right? So at the end of the day, they have an opportunity. But I like Tampa here. Laying a short number under a key number of 3 with Tom Brady, whether he has marital issues or not, that's not the issue. The concern for me is no Amari Cooper in that offense. We expect CeeDee Lamb to step up. I like Tolbert. But where is the running game in terms of Dallas? Can they find consistency week number 1? Against one of the dominant front sevens. I like Tampa on the road here. Their ability to run the football on Dallas, I think, will shine through, and they win a close ball game. But in the end, I do feel that they win it anywhere from 5 to 7 points on Sunday night.
Joe, on a football Friday, Mike Pruitt, who hosts Pro Football Today for Sports Grid each and every Sunday, getting you ready for your slate starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time, made a great point to me about this game. He feels it's a depressed number, that if this game were to be played week 4, week 5, week 6, after we get a smaller sample size on these teams, the Bucs would probably be at least a 5.5, 6-point favorite. That because this is on the road and there are some questions about Tom Brady in his 23rd NFL season and why did he miss 11 days during camp and that banged up offensive line that has already gone through attrition so far before the season has already got underway, that those questions will be answered. The Bucs have a really, really good defense still, and you can't discredit what Tom is still doing at the tender age of 45 with all of the pieces he has offensively as well. This will probably be a 6.5-point spread. So because of that, you're getting it under the key number of 3, even on the road. I think it's a really good look for the Buccaneers here, laying the 2.5 against the Dallas Cowboys. Other close spreads, Joe, Jacksonville and Washington. The Jags and the Commanders on Sunday in that early window. It's Washington as a 2.5-point home favorite, Joe, one of 5 home favorites only here. And this the shortest spread in favor of a home team this weekend. How do you break down Jacksonville and Washington? Any thoughts on this game in particular?
Yeah, I'm going with the young guns. And the young guns are Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, two of the biggest players in Clemson history. I think they're going on the road here. I think they shine in this matchup. I talked about Washington. They have a lot of nice pieces, but collectively as a team, I'm not buying into Ron Rivera and the crew. I think this potentially could be one of the worst teams in the NFC, and on top of it, all of the NFL for that matter. I'm taking a shot in them in terms of 35-1 to have the worst record. I'm not a buyer of Carson Wentz. I'm not a buyer of that defense. And it's not just the front seven because of Chase Young being out. It's the secondary. They got abused vertically by a number of different pedestrian teams. I mean, Jameis Winston put up 4 touchdowns on that secondary last year. I mean, come on, he had 14. 5 came against Green Bay. 4 came against Washington. I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it. So at the end of the day, I think it's the defense, to me, that needs to show me that they're back from where they were a couple of years ago when they won the division at 7-9. And I think Peterson is an upgrade from Meyer, so I'll take the points. And I like the over. You're getting an extra point, 44.5 to 43.5, I'll take the over in this matchup.
Joe, it's a great point on Washington, a top 5 defensive unit in 2020 when they shocked the world in a terrible NFC East and won the division. But that was with a top 5 unit in both defensive statistical categories of scoring defense and total defense. That's where Washington is going to have to get back to this year, in my opinion, if they are going to have any level of success. Their win total was 8.5 earlier this offseason, Joe. The under was so heavily juiced at minus 170. The numbers never made sense to me. More football Full Circle up next here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
11 home underdogs out of the 16 NFL contests that we have to start out week number 1, including those LA Rams, are defending Super Bowl champions that lost last night in a big way, not coming close to covering as a 2.5-point home dog, losing to Buffalo 31-10. That on the season opening night on Thursday. We get you ready for the Sunday slate here in the National Football League. And Joe, a ton of great divisional matchups to open up this season. The one that's sparks my interest the most out in Los Angeles, the Chargers and the Raiders. LA laying 3.5 at home with the second highest total of the NFL Week 1 slate at 52 in a hook. Joe, are you expecting offense in a big way between LA and Vegas on Sunday?
No, I think we might see more of the running game. And I know that sounds crazy, but I expect both teams to run the football. Now, I lean to Las Vegas in this matchup. I know it was a barn burner in terms of that last regular season game. It was a 37-34. Derek Carr led the comeback, and Justin Herbert and the crew tied it up in the end. But I like Las Vegas here. I think it's under. That's what the game resembled when they played on the Monday night. What was it, 28-14 or 28-17 in favor of LA when they were both 3-1? One early part of the year. I like Las Vegas as a road dog. I do, plus the 3.5, but I do feel that this game does go under the total. Look for McDaniels on the road to establish the run early in this matchup.
I think we're going to see some passes out of the L.A. Chargers, though. Maybe incorporating Austin Eckler more so in that backfield role. But I think Justin Herbert, Joe, with a 36.5 passing attempts prop, will go over that number. It's a number he went over in the first six games for L.A. last year, averaging 41 attempts per game in that six-game over streak of this number currently at 36.5. It's a number he went over in eight of the first 10 games for Los Angeles a season ago. It's 3.5, though, Joe, and I think that's a very interesting spread for this game, greater than that key number of 3. Much like the Buffalo Bills, a lot of off-season optimism around the L.A. Chargers. Here is their first opportunity to prove if that was credible against a divisional opponent representing, Joe, the AFC West and what we all expect is going to be the most competitive division in all of football. Do you think this game will tell us anything big picture? Do you think we'll learn anything about the season outlooks of both of these teams come Sunday?
I think, you know, we talk about, like, you know, L.A. in terms of that Brandon Staley, the hype and love that he's getting in year number two. I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, again, he was so aggressive that when the season and the playoffs were on the line, he laid up like tin cup and didn't roll the dice against an interim head coach on the road that had a beaten down defense on the ropes. So when I look at Brandon Staley and I say, okay, yeah, he's got Justin Herbert, he's got Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, that's great, but can you coach that team up to the next level? I think the biggest storyline in this game is we're going to find out that Josh McDaniels just maybe learned something from his first stint in Denver, and even though being overlooked, that he could really take this team to an elite level, something John Gruden and obviously Bisaccia couldn't do over the last couple of years.
The Chiefs are -225 to make the AFC playoffs. The preseason number, that was the second best on that side of the league. The Chargers are -162, the fourth best number in the AFC. The Broncos are -146, the sixth best number in the AFC. Those would be playoff teams, Joe, just based on the odds. And they're all favored to get in, the three out of four that I just mentioned out of the AFC West. The only one that is plus money at +170 is the team that made the postseason as well last year. The Chiefs won the division for a sixth straight year, but the Raiders were a playoff team, a wild card team. They are +170 to get back to the postseason. And the only reason, Joe, not the only reason, but the final reason the Raiders made the postseason was because of the ineptitude of Brandon Staley to manage a football game. Frankly, that's what it comes down to for Los Angeles. Until I see that change, Joe, I don't really buy the offseason hype the Chargers have. I believe in Justin Herbert. I believe in all the talent they have offensively. They improved defensively for sure, getting Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson, who is a little bit questionable for the season opener on Sunday, but need to see it before I start believing it. Another divisional matchup, Joe, in Cincinnati with the reigning AFC champs, the Bengals, at home hosting the Steelers. 6.5 points is the spread in favor of Cincy. Joe, can Pittsburgh keep this game competitive and cover that big spread?
They can, and I know a lot of people are on Pittsburgh. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it, you know, Pittsburgh and Trubisky. Don't overlook this team. Tomlin, all he does is win, and I get that. I love Mike Tomlin as head coach, but we're talking about the best team that went to the Super Bowl in Cincinnati, and I understand there might be a regression or a hangover. We saw it with the LA Rams winning the Super Bowl. I don't think you're going to have it from the Cincinnati Bengals. I think on top of Trubisky, and yes, I like Mitch Trubisky in terms of leading this team early on, but the biggest concern I have for Pittsburgh is the front seven. Cam Hayward in that front seven allowed 5 yards per carry. Until I see that defensive front become better against the run, I can't buy into Pittsburgh long term. And I'll say this about Cincinnati. I'm not buying the fact that there's regression. I'm buying the fact that potentially Joe Burrow is the savior. He's Cool Hand Luke, Joey Silk, as I tend to say. And if you're buying into the way Patrick Mahomes was 5 years ago in just trajectory and elevation, this is the kid that gets it done. All he does is win, baby. I'm laying the 6.5 at home. They won this match up 41-10 last year with Big Ben Roethlisberger. They get it done again in a big way.
I mean, Lisi, it's a great point about Cincinnati. The outlook for them, how they are perceived, is so interesting to me. A team that overexceeded expectations, a 6.5 win total last year entering 2021, the third longest price to win a Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. And because they outperformed those low expectations, because they were better than all we thought was capable for Cincinnati, they're somehow supposed to come back down to those bare minimum expectations. They're not supposed to continue to improve or just be that good team, Joe. Maybe not even improve to win a Super Bowl, because that's the only thing they have left to do after appearing in the Super Bowl last year. They just are. It's such an interesting dynamic of how Cincinnati is perceived entering this season. All right, Joe, some news out of the AFC North as we enter week number one as well. Lamar Jackson set Friday as his deadline for contract extension talks with the Baltimore Ravens. Well, Friday has come and it has passed. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens will withhold their conversations about that contract extension until after the 2022 NFL season. This is the final year of Lamar Jackson's rookie deal. He is literally playing for a job, Joe. He is playing for a new contract, as we have seen him do now two straight seasons. I'm not entirely sure why they have not come to an agreement. I don't know if it was dollars. There seems to be a very amicable relationship because Lamar is representing himself in this situation, and it seemed it was negotiated in good faith, and Lamar has expressed multiple times his interest in remaining with Baltimore for a very, very long portion of his career. But you throw all that aside, Joe, it's a 6.5-point spread in favor of the flock, the Ravens on the road taking on the Jets. How do you think all that's happening right now with Lamar and his contract situation affects Baltimore in its season opener?
Well, I still think they win this ball game, and I think they win it convincingly because of the front seven. I think it'll be much improved. I'm not sold on Joe Flacco. I think they're going to hit him early and often, and I don't know if the defense can contain the rushing attack of Lamar Jackson on the perimeter. That's the biggest concern for me. We know about that defense was maligned last year for Baltimore. I think they're much improved in the front seven, and I'm not sold on the offensive line of the New York Jets. Can they protect Joe Flacco for long periods of time? I don't think they're going to be able to do it. That's where the game is going to be won or lost. I think it might be close for maybe a quarter or two, but in the second half, I see Baltimore winning this ball game anywhere from 10 to 17 points.
Yeah, and listen, that's the 6.5-point spread. And it feels, Joe, as it got up to 7.5, it's come back down to 6.5, that it might not be enough for the Ravens. We just highlighted the Cincinnati Bengals. I think Cincy presents a ton of value in terms of winning the AFC North. It's plus 165 for them. The Ravens are the favorites at plus 145. But I've kind of talked myself in, Joe, in this last week on Baltimore having a lot of success this season based on last year being so decimated by injury. Of course, with Lamar Jackson, with J.K. Dobbins on the offensive side of the football, but mainly defensively. And in that secondary, losing Marcus Peters before the year, Marlon Humphrey goes out late. They need to rebuild then, and they do. Both of those guys back healthy on the outside. Kyle Hamilton added in the first round out of Notre Dame. And then you throw in Marcus Williams from New Orleans as well, Joe. I expect some regression back to the mean in a positive way for the Ravens, who won double-digit games each of the last three seasons before 2021, last year only winning 8. I think the Ravens are a for sure playoff team within the AFC and might be capable of doing that much more. As we continue going around this week one Sunday slate, Joe, what else on the slate catches your eye? Is there a game that Joe Lisi will be paying the most attention to come Sunday?
Yeah, I think this game has the potential to be the highest game on the board in terms of totals. Tennessee and New York Giants, it's sitting there at 43.5. I know New York is terrible, but you have a new head coach in Brian Daboll. They need to know if Danny Dimes the man or not. Wandale Robinson, Saquon Barkley, the weapons, and we know Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill on the other side with Treylon Burks. I think this game gets into the high 50s or even potentially the 60s in this ball game. Love the over 43.5 for the New York Giants. And then how about Bill Belichick? I'm a Dolphin fan, by the way, in case you didn't know. And I know the optimism surrounding Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins with Tyreek Hill. But all Bill Belichick does is abuse rookie head coaches. This line opened up at 2.5. It's up to 3.5. Brian Flores beat him twice last year. Mike McDaniel's Mike McDaniel might understand offense. He's not going to coach the defense the same way. Bill Belichick in New England strike the upset in Miami, plus 144 on the money line with the points as well.
They opened the season against each other last year in Foxborough. It was the Dolphins as a 3.5-point road underdog. They won outright against New England. And as Joe mentioned, Miami winning both of those games a season ago within that division. Another game, Joe, where we've seen some line movement heading into the weekend. The Eagles now a 4.5-point favorite against the Lions. It was always a very weird number to me when it was at 3.5. I understand the optimism behind Detroit. I feel it. An 11-6 against the spread team last year, Joe. Good teams win. Great teams cover. The Fighting Dan Campbells are going to keep games competitive for sure. However, only 3.5 with the team now in Philadelphia that is booked as the favorites to win the NFC East. It felt like a low number, Joe, and it's working in favor of Philly.
It is 33-7 was the game last year, and I think Philly was a 3.5-4-point favorite on the road there as well. I would close my eyes and take Detroit, but I don't love it, Ben. It's going to be a tough matchup. We'll see how it plays out.
If this line was 6.5, I would advocate for backing Detroit at home as the underdog. At 3.5, I think you were getting a depressed number on Philadelphia, where it's some of that optimism in the market keeping that number at 3.5. I think it's working in the right way. A couple of more closing thoughts on week one of the NFL Sunday slate up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple more minutes here on Football Full Circle. Lisi, a couple of closing thoughts from me about some of my favorite areas of attack, if you will, for the NFL Week 1 Sunday slate. My favorite side, the New Orleans Saints, covering 5.5 on the road against the Falcons. Again, it's a lot to lay in a road divisional matchup. I understand that. But Atlanta last year, as an underdog, 3-7-1 against the spreads. The Dirty Birds have the second lowest win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook at 4.5. I am not expecting much from Atlanta this season, and I am optimistic about New Orleans, who, Joe, in the last two seasons in divisional regular season games, 9-3 against the spread. So I think the Saints can cover 5.5 on the road. And my favorite total of the weekend is actually a team total, the under for the Chicago Bears at 16.5. The Niners, a top five defensive unit in the main statistical categories last year. The Bears, a bottom five scoring offense last season. Fourth worst in the league, only averaging 18.3 points per game. I think the Niners defense will keep the Bears under that number. I pray for Justin Fields because I feel very, very badly for Justin Fields. I love that man, Lisi. You love that man, but apparently the Bears don't love him enough to support him offensively.
I might take the points, though, with him going up against Trey Lance. We'll see how that game plays out, but I'll give you an upset that I really love. I've been talking about it all offseason. I'm on their win total 5.5. I'm taking Seattle week one at home against Dangerous and Denver. I don't care that he's there. I don't care that they're potentially Super Bowl contenders. I think the rushing attack of Seattle is going to be better than what a lot of people think. Geno, I think, can locate DK, Tyler Lockett, those tight ends, and don't be shocked if they strike the upset Monday night. I know a lot of money coming in on Denver this year. I'm not buying it. I think they revert back to form, and I think Seattle does win this ball game outright.
Lisi, literally the only two games we didn't really touch on for the entire Week 1 slate were the Chiefs and the Cardinals. It's the highest total of the weekend at 53.5, and the Colts and the Texans. It's the largest spread of the weekend. Indy Lane, 7.5 on the road. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Thank you for listening to Football Full Circle. Enjoy all the football this weekend.
A sports gamer who...